I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
There's been a lot of movies, very, very entertaining, a lot educational, some very shocking, been a lot written as well. Still, it's hard to talk about. The 20-year Vietnam conflict, the Vietnam War. It was 50 years ago. We've been marking that this week. 50 years. But yet for many, it's still right in... It's rolling around in their brains 24-7. There's a lot to talk about here. We're going to continue to honor our Vietnam veterans on this 50th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam conflict. We'll talk about the people of war. We'll talk about the weapons of war, the scars of war, the lessons of war. And today, it's John Quintrell, author of My 365 Days with the Wolfhounds in Vietnam, 1968 to 1969, on Voices of Montana. 20 years. Well, we've been like 2 decades strong. I guess you would look at, you know, how long we've been around, that we've been around as long as the Vietnam War conflict was fought. It really was a 20-year kind of conflict. There are so many lessons learned there, I think. And there are a lot, most of those lessons, I shouldn't say most, a lot of those lessons are in how we have dealt with our veterans and some of those scars of war as well. Let me tell you the story, because we started talking about this on Monday. Of course, they had the 50th commemorative anniversary of the day that the conflict, I shouldn't say resolved, maybe it did, it resolved over a period of time, they withdrew troops, but they marked today, March 29th, as the real last day that they had troops on the ground in Vietnam. Saigon fell in 1975, so a couple of years later. There, like I say, a lot to unpack here, too. And we talked a bit about it on Monday. There's this event coming up today that I hope veterans and those who are, you know, maybe now thinking about it as well, because I think everybody gets touched by war in some fashion or another. Even if it's to completely ignore conflict and war, it still touches you in that regard. But most, I guess I'm saying that to say, we have not a fifth degree or a sixth degree. Most of us probably have a 1 or 2 degree separation, or we were involved in the war itself. Indelible, the impression that it has left, as we have talked with many veterans. We talked with another one today, John Quintrell. He's known as Big John, and wrote a book. I'm really glad you sent this, John. I'm really glad we hooked up too, because I was just thinking on Monday, we didn't do enough. I think it's a real commemorative, 50th anniversary. It's a chance to reflect back a little bit. So thanks for contacting us. Tell us, how you doing, sir?
Well, thank you, Tom. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you and the folks in Montana this morning. And like you said, it is the 50th anniversary of the signing of the peace accords. It's just another opportunity to make people aware that the Vietnam War, sometimes I think it gets left behind and forgotten because of the wars and conflicts that we've had since.
Yeah.
But, it's just a real pleasure to be able to talk to you, and I know there's a lot of veterans probably listening, and I want to tell all my brothers and sisters out there what a pleasure it is to be with you every day and meet with you in different venues and stuff. So, Tom, thank you again.
Yeah, and I very much appreciate that, but appreciate your service, and thanks to all who have served. And let's get into this. You know, I'm thinking about, first, the book. I just got it, and as you kind of warned me, it's one of those things you can't put down. I've found that to be the case. A lot of stories, and this is what I like too, individual stories, and I think it's fair to tell some stories, but I want to, if you would, John, and we should start with who you are. You know, it says here on the cover of the book, My 365 Days from the sandy beaches of San Diego to the jungles of Vietnam. But we'll talk about the people of war, also the weapons of war. I think Vietnam was a new war in a lot of ways, the scars of war, too, and then the lessons of war. Let's start with the people of war, and this could be your brothers in arms, command, innocents, the civilians who are there, the enemy in and of itself. But let's start with John Quantrill, because I started reading, I popped around a little bit in your book, but started reading the first few chapters where you found yourself kind of like one day in the Army, sort of. It just kind of like happened that fast, didn't you? From the sandy beaches of San Diego to the jungles of Vietnam.
Well, Tom, if you can imagine a young teenager that had graduated from high school and who had started community college, working at Safeway, and I was living the high life. I was a surfer. I was at the beaches most of the time when I wasn't working. And I had started community college, and all of a sudden, my life was pretty much taken up with making money and chasing girls, not necessarily in that order. But all of a sudden, I thought it was more important to make money. And so I dropped out of college. Not thinking. I didn't, Tom, you got to understand, I didn't know anything about Vietnam.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying any attention. I didn't watch the news. So Vietnam to me was, I was clueless. So I lost my college deferment, and within a very short period of time, I got a letter from the President of the United States saying that we want you to show up at the induction office in downtown San Diego on such and such a date. And of course, I had not told my dad that I had dropped out of college, and he was the one that received the envelope from Selective Service. And when I came home from work one day, he said, "What's this?" And man, what a shocker when I had to come to the realization that I had to tell my dad I dropped out of college. And not only that, I had just found out I got drafted into the United States Army. So it was a shock, to say the least. I was not prepared. All of a sudden, my life was not my own. I was told what date to show up. I was told when I was going to go to Fort Ord. And so that whole situation, and remember, a 19-year-old kid, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was really just really living the dream, so to speak. And then, of course, like I say, I got drafted, went to Fort Ord, California, basic and AIT. And the thing that I remember most about those trainings is when I got to Vietnam, I got to thinking to myself, is 8 weeks of training in advanced infantry training enough to prepare a person to go into actual combat in Vietnam? And of course, the answer to that for me was no. Yeah, 8 weeks is just not nearly enough. And compared to today's Army, today's Army, they have great training.
Yeah.
It's really a lot different.
Well, that's so, one of those lessons of wars too, I think we'll take from Vietnam too, the army on the ground is only as good as the army that you prepared. So go ahead and continue. I'm sorry. I want to know, who were the Wolfhounds? You ended up in the Wolfhounds. Who are these gents?
Well, the Wolfhounds are a elite unit in the 25th Infantry Division that started in World War II. Their history is very rich, and they were originally put together. They would go behind enemy lines at night and to get prisoners of war so that they could bring them back and get intelligence from them. Well, World War II didn't, by the time the Wolfhounds got started there, the war was ended. And then the Korean War started, and the Wolfhounds now were in full operation. And, Tom, I want you to imagine this. There were 1 million Chinese on the other side of the line, right? And here the Wolfhounds would go in the middle of the night, and they'd get into the Chinese lines and grab somebody and bring them back.
The Chinese lines, you mean?
Yes. Well, the North Koreans, the Chinese were the ones that were the majority of the people fighting us at that time.
Yeah.
In North Korea. So, I can't even imagine it. I mean, I know some of the stuff we did in Vietnam was pretty provocative, but to actually go into the lines and grab somebody and bring them back. That was pretty risky. So that was kind of a Rokkando unit. And then in Vietnam, the Wolfhounds were used as reactionary forces, Rokkando. They had us basically, if there was a problem, they put the Wolfhounds in. And we were, of course, we were an air combat unit as well. We did a lot of helicopter trips and combat blasts. And so if a company of Wolfhounds were in trouble, they'd put us on helicopters and send us in to get the guys out of trouble. So it was always, you know, 365 days started with me walking into Vietnam. And it was kind of, the book is kind of a chronological event showing what happened, you know, month after month after month. And I'd like to be able to tell you and the listeners that things got better, you know, after I was in Vietnam and I got a little experience and so forth. But unfortunately for me and my unit, it didn't. And in those 365 days, Tom, just in my platoon alone, I lost 45 men KIA. Wow. And that right there is a horrible, horrible number. So that right there kind of gives you an indication of what my unit in Vietnam was up to.
Did you get help in making, I don't know if that's the right word for it, we talk about mental health, and I know we've come a long ways there, but I'll just put it plainly and simply, making peace with that. And I know that's sort of an end game, end story here, too, and I want to talk more about on-the-ground sort of stuff, but how long did it take you, sir, to come to an understanding of your role in that?
Well, that's a really interesting question, Tom, and I'll tell you why. And it kind of dovetails with the idea of what was it like when I came home?
Yeah.
And when I hit Travis Air Force Base, the first thing I did is when I got off the plane is I got on my hands and knees and I kissed the ground. That's how happy I was to be home and out of Vietnam.
You weren't the only one.
When I went into Vietnam, into that platoon, there of all the guys that went into the platoon at that time, only two of us survived the whole 365 days. So you can imagine how anxious I was at one point or another to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
And so I got home, and when we left Travis Air Force Base, Jane Fonda had a bunch of her protesters waiting at the gate. And when we went to go get in the cabs to get a ride, they kind of jumped on us and threw garbage and tomatoes. And I'll never forget this one little gal. She couldn't have been over 4'9". She got right up into my face, and she started yelling, and she spit on me, and she said, "You're a baby killer." And I was so shocked, Tom. I'm sitting here going, "Whoa, wait a minute. Why are they doing this?" You see, Tom, as a combat veteran, I wasn't exposed to what was going on at home at the universities or the colleges or the riots or the protests. What we got was the Army Times. And you can imagine what the Army was telling us. It certainly wasn't, you know, propaganda from home. So I was stunned, to say the least. And then I went home to my mother's house.
Hey, stand by. I want to kind of go into this uninterrupted. I got to take a break, and I want you to talk more about that story. And I've you shared it with me earlier too about coming back, because grave mistake, and maybe that, sorry, wrong word there, but a big mistake I think on our part. And let's use the word grave mistake, because I think that has led to mental health issues. At least the discovery of with some of our Vietnam veterans and the suicide rate. And people can point to their not welcome home as being a big part of that. So I want to take a break and come on back, and we'll get into that. That's part of the process of war here, too. Still more to talk about. As I say, we're kind of looking at the people of war and the weapons of war, the scars of war, the lessons. Maybe we'll finally get to this last war. Who knows? Maybe we already had one. I don't know. We've got John Quintrell back with more in a bit.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Welcome back. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana, again, as we are welcoming home our Montana veterans 50 years after the end of the Vietnam War. John Quintrell is with us, a Vietnam veteran. My 365 days with the Wolfhounds in Vietnam, 1968 to 1969, Combat Veterans Journeys, the book we're talking about here. John lives in Helena. John, thank you for being on here today. Let's get right back into this. I mean, we talked about it on Monday, too, about the welcome home and how we... there was no welcome home, but I mean, almost every Vietnam veteran, and I have known several, and I want to say hello to Dave and out there listening in Alberton as well. And I will have more to say about that probably tomorrow when we have open phones. They have all noted how hard it was upon their return, and the whole don't wear your uniform, shut up, and just mind your business, man. It took a long time for us to recognize the mistake that was.
Well, you know, Tom, again, I'll just finish up with this story. When I got to my mother's house and I opened the trunk and I was taking my stuff up, the guy across the street, the neighbor that I'd grown up with all my life since childhood, he was one of my buddy's dads. He came out his front door and he started walking right towards me. And I thought, oh, you know, he's going to give me a hug and welcome me home. And instead, when he got to me, he said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And I looked at him, and I couldn't speak. And he said, you went over there, and you killed innocent people. You killed women, children. You burned down villages, and you just should be ashamed. And he turned on his heels and walked off. Tom, something within me right then and there in that instant snapped. And I made up my mind right then and there I would not tell anybody I was a Vietnam veteran. And I didn't for 30 years. And so, I quite frankly, I put my experiences of Vietnam in a dark room in the back of my mind, and I closed the door, and I locked it, and I threw away the key. I really didn't revisit that much until 30 years later when I decided I wanted to try to find some of the guys I'd served with in Vietnam. And that's when... all of a sudden, and Desert Storm had just started. And, of course, there was a resurgence of pride in the military during that time because, quite frankly, we were allowed to win. The politics of it didn't get in the middle of it. Schwarzkopf told them, if you want me to run this game, you're going to keep the politics out of us and you're going to let us win. And, of course, they didn't let us do that in Vietnam.
Yeah.
We had a war of attrition instead of a war of trying to win. You know, we'd take a hill and they'd pull us out of there and the Vietnamese would be right back 2 days later. And so it was all about body count. Everything was about body count. And unfortunately, Tom, the officers in the field, they would, their promotions and so forth were based on the results that their units got, and it was all counted in body count. And so unfortunately, that meant a lot of these leaders that weren't good leaders would put their men in harm's way just for the fact that they wanted to, further their success and get rank and so forth. So the Vietnam War was a lot different than anything else that, in history that I know about. My particular unit was, like I said, we were in some horrible, horrible battles. There was a place called Diamond Fire Support Base that they put us at. It was very, very close to the Cambodian border, and we didn't know it at the time, but the 25th Infantry Division wanted to find out how close they could put a little fire support base to the border before the NVA would come and run over us. And at Diamond on February 23rd, 1969, two regiments of NVA came across that border and ran over Diamond. And in my platoon, everybody was killed but eight of us. Only eight of us survived, and that's just one example. And so, you know, Tom, when you talk about mental problems and so forth, I came home with a couple of different problems. I had They didn't know what PTSD was, but boy, I'll tell you, if they would have said PTSD, I'd have been a poster child for that. Mm. And then, of course, I came home and I had flashbacks of incidences that happened. I had nightmares. Alcohol became my medication of choice. That didn't certainly help me. I had terrible problems with relationships. And unfortunately, it took me three marriages to finally get it right. And so those are the, you know, the casualties of war, Tom, are a lot of the injuries. You know, sure, we had guys come home and they were missing limbs and so forth. But one of the most defining injuries for a lot of guys that came home were the ones you didn't see. And that was the mental injuries and so forth. And quite frankly, Tom, it lasts a lifetime. You know, all the help that the VA can give you and all the counseling you can get, you know, helps you deal with stuff, but it's always going to be there. It's always in your mind. And, you know, I think that's why, you know, especially combat veterans, when they get together, there's just this certain brotherhood, mm-hmm. you know, that they were, you know, combat vets, and it didn't matter what unit you were in.
Hey, John. I apologize for that. I hate that. I like listening to your stories, but I got to take a break here and get some headline news in, or we're going to be too short on the other side. Stand by, because there's more to come. I want you to share, as we talk about the people of war, I want you to share some of those that you shared that time with as well. John Quintrell is with us, former staff sergeant in the United States Army. My 365 Days with the Wolfhounds in Vietnam is the book.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Out there, I'll throw this out there real quick. It is wolfhounds2nd27.org, Big Dog Publications, for My 365 Days with the Wolfhounds in Vietnam. John Quintrell, former staff sergeant in the United States Army, with us here today. John, I got like 3 minutes, and I know I kind of interrupted you a little bit. Maybe this is an opportunity to talk about those brothers in arms that have left this indelible impression on you. And back in 2002 or 3 and 4, this is what started your journey as well, was reconnecting with those folks.
That is correct. Yeah. You know, and when you said that about thinking about the guys that I served with,
yeah,
there was such a turnover in our platoon that guys would come into the platoon replacements and they would either be wounded or killed within a week or two of being there. I didn't even know what their names were.
Yeah.
If you can believe that we had guys going through the platoon so quickly, like on that February 23rd, diamond incident, there had been a young kid that had just come in and he'd been with us 2 days and he got killed that night. And so he'd been in the field 2 days and he was gone. And at the time, I didn't really understand the impact of what all this death and dismemberment was doing back home. You know, we had families and mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers that got a letter from the Army or somebody knocking on the door and saying, you know, your son, you know, just got to Vietnam and he got killed. It's just the impact of that just is mind-boggling. But, you know, that after Diamond, we got a whole bunch of new replacements, and one of them was a young man named John Boyle, and he was from Idaho. And John and I had a lot in common. We both were living with our dads before we got drafted. We loved hunting and fishing. We were outdoor people, both had horses and did that kind of stuff. And so I decided I was going to take him under my wing. And so John was very eager to learn and so forth. And we were on an ambush patrol one night, and he was right next to me, and I'd set the Claymore mines out and looking through the starlight scope, and lo and behold, three point men for an NVA company were walking right down in front of my Claymores. And I got my guys woke up and I told John, I said, as soon as I pop these claymores, I want you to start shooting. And he goes, okay. So I pop the claymores, the shooting starts, all hell broke loose. And next thing I know, John Boyle is just down slumped behind the berm. And I thought, well, he's scared. It's his first firefight and so forth. Well, after about the middle of the firefight, I grabbed his shoulder because I thought, hey, I got to get this guy up.
John, I apologize. I know it's a bad time for this. I've got this hard breakup coming. We'll continue this story honoring our Vietnam veterans today on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Thank you for your service to all our Vietnam veterans. Welcome home. There's this observance going on at the Capitol Complex in Helena today. It's commemorating the 50th anniversary of really the end of the Vietnam War, 1973. It started, 1955, when you look at the conflict going back. A lot we have learned from this. We are talking with John Quintrell, who's the a former staff sergeant, and he wrote an honest and revealing memoir of combat in Vietnam. Combat, on-the-ground combat, my 365 days with the Wolfhounds in Vietnam, our special guest here today. That just to finish that up, 10 o'clock is when this Veterans Honor Walk will begin, and then there's a wreath laying at the Freedom Tree. This is happening at the Capitol Rotunda, so look for information or look to attend that today starting at 10 o'clock, and thank you for that. So, John, again, I appreciate you being here. I hated to cut you off during that break. I read this because I couldn't help but read it. One of the chapters, 13, My Worst Nightmare, January 26, 1969. And this is the story where you talk about this gentleman from Boyle, from Idaho, who you had a lot in common with and took under your wing.
Yeah, and I'll just finish this up. So to make a long story short, when I popped the claymores, John had gotten up and started shooting, and one of the point people on the berm, I think it was a knee-jerk reaction, pulled the trigger, and one of the rounds went and hit him right between the eyes, hit Boyle between the eyes. And I didn't know it at the time until, when I shook him, I heard kind of a death rattle as the air left his lungs, and I knew that, when I pulled him away from the berm, I saw that he was shot in the head. And what was even worse than that is I got wounded during that same firefight. And when they loaded us onto the medevac, I was laying there on the floor, and there was four of us on the floor of this helicopter. And I turned my head to the right, and I was looking straight into John Boyle's eyes. And all I could think of is that I had told him to get up and start shooting when I popped the claymores. And he did exactly what I said, what I ordered him to do, and now he was dead. And that right there set in motion a survivor's guilt that I have had my entire life. I still have it. That's something you can never, never get rid of. So incidences like that, guys went through all kinds of stuff like that. Seeing your buddies killed right next to you. I had our platoon sergeant die in my arms as a result of we got blasted by RPGs. There's just so many stories. When we went into Cambodia, this is interesting. They said, the government was publicizing that we would not go into Cambodia. They promised, we're not going to bring the war to Cambodia. Well, we were in there deep, and our mission was is to go in and find an underground hospital in Cambodia. And we had a special forces guy assigned to us and 13 mountain yard warriors. And those little midget warriors, let me tell you something, those mountain yards were tough dudes. And interestingly enough, Ray Reed.
Yeah.
And he's the guy at the military museum here in Helena. Ray was a special forces guy, and he was training these mountain yards that I was going into Cambodia with. So it's a small world. You know, I didn't meet Ray until, you know, a couple of years ago. And so here Ray is living with these mountain yards, training them how to use our weapons and so forth. And here I am with 13 of them going into Cambodia. So those kinds of things, you know, where it was just one thing led to another. And another thing that the guys that were in the field never forget, if you've ever been next to a napalm drop, it's the most unbelievable experience of your life. Number one, the heat blast. We've been so close to it that our faces looked like they were sunburned. And it takes all the oxygen out of the air. It takes your breath away. It takes you a minute to catch your breath. And so those kinds of devastating weapons of war, we had Phantoms that would come in and drop 500-pound tunnel buster bombs right in front of us. And the earth would literally heave and throw huge boulder, huge clumps of earth into the air and so forth. And if you add all these things up, Tom, you know, all of a sudden you've got a guy, a veteran that has had so many of these experiences that it's an overload. It really is. And it takes not only a toll on your body, but your mind. And that's, I think, what the most important thing is we needed to have support in that area. And unfortunately, when I came home, number one, because I would never admit I was a Vietnam vet, but there wasn't the support system there. The VA wasn't there to say, come on in, guys, and we're going to help you deal with this. We're going to help you deal with your alcoholism or your drug addiction. VA just wasn't there to do it. The theory was, and kind of what the attitude was, if you've got both your arms and legs, hey, get the hell out of here and go live your life.
Yeah.
You know, and so there were so many of us that did have our arms and legs, but were totally disabled, you know,
yeah.
mentally. And so that's why today I am very, very grateful and very thankful that the VA has come to the point where Vietnam veterans are recognized. We are getting the help that we need and so forth. But boy, it took a long time, Tom.
Well,
I didn't even go to the VA until probably, oh, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah. You know, and that's sort of left over from the Korean War too. They call that officially the Forgotten War. And we didn't talk about that back in the States here. Although my father served there, was a sergeant in that war. I mean, I tell a story from time to time about a moment we had when we were hunting, and he had a flashback and said, I was back, you know, in the hills in Korea for a minute. And that opened up the floodgate a little bit, and we were able to talk more going down the road. But we, you know, a lot of us were taught to kind of harbor those things in. And this is why I think the Vietnam War has changed us in a lot of ways. Number one, it was very much a public war, too. A lot of politics in it. It was televised. You were working with new weapons of war as well. And then that return home, I think because of that, Vietnam veterans really worked to help each other as brothers, because that's what you became over there. And I think you've set the stage, at least the Vietnam warriors returning have set the stage for American Legion posts going forward, veterans of foreign wars going forward. There is so much more now, brotherhood and assistance. I really much appreciate that. Your thoughts on that? There's this new focus on not leaving anybody behind, period.
Absolutely. And, you know, you hit it right on the head. There are a lot of service organizations out there right now. And I'm going to tell you veterans out there, if you haven't taken advantage of getting VA help or compensation, let me tell you something. You earned it. You earned every bit of the support that the VA can give you. And those service organizations are great places to go. They will help you. A lot of times veterans won't approach the VA because they don't know how to do it. And they still fall back on that, well, I've got both my arms and legs, so the VA is probably not for me. And I'm going to segue into a different thing. In 2003, when I started looking for the guys I served with, none of the guys that I found were hooked up with the VA in 2003. And we all kind of had the same thought about that. you know, the VA wasn't a friendly place for us to go. And some of the guys that I found in 2003, I found 18 of them. And in 2004, we decided we'd have a reunion. And we did it in Washington, D.C. And so 18 guys and their wives show up, hadn't seen each other for over 30 years, Tom. And when we were together, it was magical. And it was amazing because the guys that were smart asses in Vietnam were still smart asses. The guys that were quiet in Vietnam were still quiet. And conversations picked up at that reunion where they left off in Vietnam. So you can imagine how that was imprinted in our minds and in our very soul, where we could pick up on conversations that we had with those guys back, you know, over 30 years ago. Well, that was a magical reunion. It taught me something. As the organizer of that reunion, I learned that that was a healing process, not only for the veterans, but for the wives, because most of the wives didn't know why their husbands were the way they were.
Yeah.
And when they got to the reunion, they started to talk to each other. And I remember wives saying, well, does your husband do this or that? And, you know, these poor wives must have thought they were alone, you know, the only people in the world dealing with this. And so as a result of that, we were able to put together some support groups for the wives. And then the next reunion, then all of a sudden family members started coming, children. And then as the reunions continued, adult children, grandchildren. And that kind of spurred an idea that I had. Well, this story of us and what we did in Vietnam was history, and yeah, no, we're going to lose it. Nobody is going to know what really happened. So what my son Tim and I did is we decided we would go and do a live interview with every single veteran that I served with. And so we traveled all over the United States, and we got these guys, and we interviewed them, and we talked about their life and then their service in Vietnam. And, Tom, it is absolutely amazing. We have over 100 interviews on our website.
What are you going to do with that? You're going to do something with that, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, number one, it is a historical record.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying right now to figure out how to get enough funding. I want that up there for 100 years. Because this is what the phenomenon is. You know, children got to find out, you know, they got to actually see their dad talk about their life in Vietnam, and then grandchildren, and then great-grandchildren, and generations to come. And I thought to myself, when we started this project, I thought, what would I give if I could have had my grandfather on a video talk about his life and service? And I thought, man, that would be powerful. And so we have accomplished that. And that's up there. And, of course, all that's in the Library of Congress and so forth, which will be a historical record. But, Tom, I cannot reiterate. And for all you veterans out there, there's healing in getting together with brother veterans and being able to talk about the things that you went through and the wives that support being, you know, like...
I'm glad said, you gave a note, a shout-out there for the wives, too. Can't imagine what they have gone through too, but the lesson there is that we can all write a happy ending with work and faith. We're back with more with John Quintrell in just a bit here on Voices.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
It's the Minority Party Hour on Friday. The Dems like to call the Dems Power Hour. I'm all right with that. I don't know, as we're talking here about the 50th commemorative anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War, I just looked up, like, we talk about all the movies. Let's see, Full Metal Jacket, I remember that one. Deer Hunter, I didn't see that one. Apocalypse Now. Of course, Good Morning Vietnam, that was in, like, in, there should be a date on it here. late 80s, I think. That changed things as well when we started talking about it. We're with John Quintrell now. Wrote a very honest and revealing book, My 365 Days with the Wolfhounds in Vietnam. Knows so much more, but still a lot more to unpack, John. We didn't really get to a small fraction of it here. I've got like now 2 full minutes, and I'm just going to throw it open to you. I don't know how you wrap this up. We'll have to continue talking about it. But some final thoughts for you, sir.
Well, let me share this. You gave me an idea when you mentioned Full Metal Jacket. My book was picked up by an outfit in Burbank, California called Voyage Media, and they made a 45-minute podcast episode based on my book. And they hired 3 Hollywood actors to do the voices, and I'm in the voiceover as well. And that's an international podcast. And the first actor that they hired to do a voiceover in this podcast was Animal Mother from Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, wow.
And that's Adam Baldwin. Oh. And so he was so impressed with the book and what we were doing in the podcast that he volunteered to do a half-hour interview with Voyage Media, and it's right there next to my podcast. And people can just real simple, just go to My 365 Days Voyage Podcast, Mission Report, anything like that, and it'll pop right up.
My365daysvetbook.com is another one of those as well. So, and again, it's yep. John Quintrell, Quintrell for a search on that. Got 1 minute now,
and
John.
Then they took it over into the movie side. They hired a screenwriter, a producer. The pilot episode's been completed, so forth. So that's a lot of exciting news about that.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out. Diane Evans, I love you. If it wasn't for you, I would have never finished my book. Yeah. Ray Reed, Military Museum in Helena. Ray was my biggest supporter when my book first came out. He put that book in the museum, and he's just been such a great friend. Denny Lenore, he is Senator Daines's field representative. Mac Menard from Montana Association, Big Hearts Under the Big Sky. They provide opportunities for families to heal. So I love you guys, and God bless you. Hope everything, all the good things come to you in your life.
Welcome home, John.
Thank you, buddy. And, you know, like I say, if I had it to do over again, I'd do it for the good folks like you and the folks in Montana.
Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.